Welcome or welcome back to Wisdom Wednesday, the podcast where we want to know better so we could do better. I'm your host and your homegirl, Janae, and I am so glad to see you here today. It makes perfect sense to me that when people come to Christ for the first time, one of the biggest questions they have is, what is my purpose? But what a lot of people don't realize is that as Christians, when we adopt Christ as our Lord, as well as our Savior, our purpose is the same. There's not one Christian who has a different purpose than the other. And I think in Western culture, we don't have a strong sense of definitions. And so what we say and what we mean are not always the same thing. And so in our cultural context, what we say is purpose, but what we mean is calling. And so today I kind of want to break down what those two things actually mean and what it is that you're looking for and how to find it. So we don't have much time, so let's get into it, all right? I have my handy dandy trusty Bible, all right? She's purple and pink and pretty like me, and we love her so much. So what do I mean by every Christian has the same purpose? I'll explain, and I'll explain using this. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, well, let's start in 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. This is right after God creates man. And the first thing he does is give man purpose. He gives man purpose using four basic principles. The first one, be fruitful. Second one, multiply. Three, fill the earth. Four, subdue it. But what does that mean? What does that look like in our cultural context of where we're at now in the world? And is that still what God wants us to do? Well, there's a principle called the principle of first, which basically sums up to when you're looking at a principle or a topic in the Bible, the best place to get the most accurate information is where it appears first. That's why we're in Genesis, because we wanted to see when is the first time God gave something purpose. He created all these things, the earth, the birds, all these different things, all these animals and flowers and plants. But when is the first time that he gave something purpose? Well, it's when he made man. And what he says to man is probably not something that we would say if you or I was God. These four things seem kind of out of place, but when you put them in their context, which we're about to do now, it makes a lot more sense and will help ease you. So when we say purpose, we mean what was a thing created to do. When I say purpose, that's what I mean. What was I created to do? What was this thing? If I have scissors, its purpose is to cut. That's its purpose. Now, can I use it for other things? Can I use it to wedge open a door or to open a can? Yes, but its purpose is to cut. And its calling may be something different in the moment. So just like I said, with a pair of scissors, it's made to cut, but I may use it for another purpose. That other purpose is calling. So that's what I mean when I say purpose versus calling, right? So let's talk about these four things that God purposed us to do in the earth, right? So the first one, here's the thing about these first four things before we get into them. You can't know the purpose of something without knowing its identity. And so these four tasks, if you will, that God places purpose in man, you can't know that unless you first accept that you are God's creation. You are his son, and you have been adopted into the family of Christ. And where you once did not have access to the king of the universe, you now do. So that's a first step. I can't walk out my purpose. I can't walk out even in a calling if I first don't accept my identity. And I think a lot of people try to skip over the identity portion and get straight to the purpose. And God says, no, 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 no. back up, back up, back up. Because we see in verse 27, he says he created him in the image of God. He's giving him identity. So before the purpose, he gives you identity. And our identity is to be an image bearer of God. We are not God, but we are the ones who he has chosen to be a reflection, like a mirror of who he is. So that's our identity. And that in itself can be hard for people to accept for a multitude of reasons. I'll say for me, I grew up with a lot of daddy issues, like so many daddy issues, that seeing God as a father made it hard for me to become a son. It made it hard for me to accept my identity as a child of God, because in my experience as a child here on earth, fathers don't care for their kids. That was my experience. And so it was hard for me to accept that. But once I accepted that, and that's a whole other conversation on how that happened, then I could move into purpose. And for all of us, this is when I saw that none of us have a different purpose. Our purpose is to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. And in order for us to know what something is, or to find it even in the Bible, we have to know what God called it. And so what we call purpose is what God calls when he's speaking identity into us. And so that's what we see in Genesis. And I know many of you who have been church before have heard the be fruitful conversation, and it's almost always about sex. And yes, that's a part of it. But what God is showing us is that what he cares about is bearing fruit. Remember, he's a gardener. Those of you who have read the Gospels, which you should have by now, if you've read the Gospels, then you know that Jesus, once he's resurrected, he comes back and they say, and the ladies say, oh, it looks like a gardener. He's dressed as a gardener when he comes back, which tells us that the most important thing to a gardener is the fruit and the quality of the fruit. A gardener, a farmer, someone who does agriculture does not want fruit or flowers that are ugly, that don't taste good, that don't look good, that smell nasty. They don't want that. They want something that looks good, tastes good, is refreshing, is insightful. And that is what Jesus means. That's what God means when he's saying, be fruitful. He said, your life should produce something of substance. You're not dating just to date. Your dating life should have fruit attached to it. And if you cannot produce fruit in relationships, you don't need to date. If you cannot produce fruit in friendships, that's not a chance for you to then go date somebody romantically. So these are the things he's talking about. Multiply. He wants us, just like there's a parable about sowers where the master gives the servants talents, like coins, think like coins. And his expectation is that they multiply the talents, they multiply the amount of money that he gives them. And this is the same principle that we see right here. So he's saying multiply. When he gives us something and our own talents and passions, if I'm a singer and I don't sing, how can I multiply? How is that bringing glory to God? So whatever gifts, whatever talents, whatever passions that God naturally gave me, maybe I'm good at speaking. Maybe I'm really good with children. He wants us to multiply it by honing our gifts, honing our talents, honing, getting stronger in the areas that we are weak. Maybe I'm an introvert, and I am. It is my responsibility to submit that introvertedness, I don't know if that's a word, to the Lord, so that he can multiply that in my life and show me ways that I can still be outgoing or still reach people even in my introvertedness. So that's what he's talking about there. Fill the earth. Leave something. You should live a life that is so impactful that when you leave it, people can remember you by. And it doesn't have to be money or generational wealth. It could be wisdom. It can be just joy. It can be memories that uplift people. He wants us to live a life that when we leave earth here and go to heaven with him, that there is a deposit here that we've left. Maybe with our children, we live a life that we are just so devoted to our children that they begin to follow God. Those are the kind of things that he's looking for us to fill the earth with, his presence. When we invite God in with our prayers, that's filling the earth. Those are all examples of filling the earth. Subdue. He's asking us to cast out things that don't belong, to be in charge of, to take dominion over what he has here for us. God created the earth so that we can be in charge of it. Now, we're not owners of the earth, but we are managers. And just like the manager at your job, even though I don't own the company, I'm going to make sure that everybody's on their P's and Q's, because I know that what the entry-level employee does affects the company at large. And so that's what we're here to do. We're here to look at entry-level employees, to help them, to disciple them, to bring them into the kingdom of God, to mentor them, to all the things, right? And so that's what he means by subduing. If there's someone who is not on their job, your manager would fire you. If you're not on your job, your manager will get you out of there, right? And so it's the same thing when we have spiritual attacks come against the capital C church, or come against our family members, or come against our own household, or even come against us. He's asking us to subdue it. Cast that thing out. Get it out your house. Maybe you have something that maybe isn't sin, but leads you to sin. I know for me, my Twitter account, when I used to have one, led me down a path to pornography every single time. And no matter how many filters I put on, like, what was allowed on my timeline on Twitter, I always ended up seeing some type of porn. So I got rid of my entire Twitter account years ago. And it's the best thing I could have done for my porn addiction, because God was saying, no, subdue this thing. You have the power to subdue this addiction by casting it out. And so those four things make up our purpose. Well, what about my calling today? I'm glad you asked. Your purpose stays the same, but your calling can change. I see callings like vehicles. So maybe you get in one vehicle today, and then you drive your other one the next day, and then you drive another one the next day. That's how God kind of calls us, if you will, to different areas of our life. Have you ever seen like an NFL player, and they've been playing football their entire life, and then they get 35, 40, and they retire, and they don't got nothing to do, and now they don't know who they are outside of football? That's because they have left this particular vehicle of calling, and it's time for them to step into a new one. And so what we don't want to do is get into a point where we're so focused on one vehicle of calling. Like, I'm a singer. I sing. I got a good voice and I can sing. Okay, baby. But what happens tomorrow if you get laryngitis and you can no longer sing? That can't be your purpose. Right? Your purpose is not being a singer. That's just a calling. You have something else in you. And so you got to switch vehicles. And a lot of time we get caught up in like talents and call those our purpose, but they're not. Football is not your purpose. Makeup is not your purpose. It's a vehicle to display your purpose, which is to fill, subdue, be fruitful, multiply, right? But it's not your purpose. It is a calling. Like, I remember I was on the praise team at my church for 10 years. Loved it, had great opportunities and all those things. But when I quit, and the only reason was I'm just choosing a new vehicle, people looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, but you're a singer. Yeah. And I'm gonna still sing from the pew. And I'm gonna lift up Jesus' name. And now I'm just the hype squad in the crowd, and I moved on and went to children's ministry and ended up, you know, being on staff for children's ministry and all those things. But I was doing the same thing, because in children's ministry, when it was time for praise and worship, guess what I was doing? I was singing. I was using that same ability that I had to sing. I ended up doing Christmas choir with the kids and directing the kids for that. Like, I was able to do those things because I had been called to a different area previously, and I just used those skills in my new calling. My skill set did not change. My ability, and the thing is, I didn't wake up one day after I finished singing and just realize like, oh, now my calling is teaching others. I'd been teaching others while I was singing. Whether other people knew that or not, that's on them. But I was, right? And so let's go to Matthew 18:20, because this is when a lot of people get mixed up. This is the set of scripture that is known as the Great Commission. This is Jesus talking, and this is what the instructions Jesus gives to the disciples. Now, remember our definitions. He's not giving them identity. This is not giving them purpose. He's giving them their calling, right? So he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Here's what I love about this scripture. This scripture, your calling aligns with your purpose, and this scripture proves it. If you put this scripture next to the first one we read, notice, here's what you notice. There are four things in your purpose and there are four things in your calling. And so what we're looking at is seeing not a repeat of God's word. We're seeing a confirmation both in the Old Testament and the New Testament that our purpose and our calling are intertwined, but different. For me, the reason why I see that our calling is constantly changing is because we serve a living God. Other gods, lowercase g, do not require movement because they're always in the same place and they always require you to come to them. Because we serve the living God who is always moving and breathing and shifting and moving things, right? His nature does not change, but his location does, right? Because he even says in Isaiah 49, 19, he says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Can you not see it?" He's stirring, he's moving. And so we have to be aware of where he's calling us because that can and does change. No one has just one calling, right? And so you have these other lowercase g gods like zodiacs, like Buddha, like Islam, where these are gods who they don't move because they're not alive. They cannot move. They're dead. They're dead on arrival, right? And we serve a living God who is always moving. And so he's always ushering us and unctioning us and prompting us to move with him. Not that he, yeah, I ain't going down that road, but he's always moving with us. So in order for us to make sure, well, how do we make sure that I know, like, I'm operating in my calling? I know my purpose is, Janae, I know my identity, but how do I know my calling since that's the thing that's always changing? My identity doesn't change, my purpose doesn't change, but my calling does. How do I know? Well, you take inventory. Just like, okay, so I used to work for a grocery store chain in their like corporate, right? So I didn't work in the stores, I worked in an office space. And every year we had to do inventory of our warehouse. We had to know how many different products we had, where they were located, how much of them did we use in a year, how much are we prepared to, how much do we want to use for the new year, all those different things, right? And every year we had to do inventory so that we could see what needed to stay, what needed to go, what was missing, and who took it. But but we have to do that with our lives. We have to look at our lives, our bodies, our temples, our warehouses for God. And so he stores things in us that we have to be aware that it's there, right? It is our responsibility to do inventory on our lives to make sure that we know what is in there. And so maybe you're like me and everyone growing up used to tell you that you're just the pretty dark-skinned girl who can sing, right? It's my responsibility to look deeper. And when I did, I found that I have a teaching anointing. I found that I have a love for children and the next generation of Christian followers, which is why I'm here, because you are the next generation. I looked inside and saw that I have an administration gift. I love doing admin work. I looked inside and saw that I have a gift, the gift of organization and creating systems. And so if I had just allowed myself to just be the pretty dark-skinned girl, then I never would have noticed that those other gifts had been there forever. It wasn't like they just showed up. They had been there. And so we had to constantly do inventory on our lives and in our hearts to know what God is pulling on, to know which part of us God is pulling on and what he wants us to do with it. When I went to start this podcast, it's because he was pulling on my public speaking. I'm not a public speaker, but he's like, we're going to pull this out of you. I placed a little nugget in there that's this big of public speaking and putting yourself out there and vulnerability, but we're going to pull that right on out. And so the reason I'm doing this podcast is not because my purpose has changed, but my calling has, my audience has, who he's calling me to is changing. And so this is me answering the call right here on Wisdom Wednesday. I love you and I'll see you next week.